Part 12, The Khuzari and the Muslim. Now, you understand why the Muslim is only summoned after the Christian cleric has been rejected, because Islam, historically, is a much later religion than Christianity. Christianity begins with the advent of Jesus at the beginning of the Common Era, and Islam only begins with the Prophet Muhammad in the mid-7th century in the Arabian Peninsula. Now, let's note a few things that are contained in the argument of the Muslim, which begins on page 62 in the Feldheim Khuzari in subparagraph number 5. The very first thing that the Muslim Qadi, or Islamic judge, puts forth is the unity of God. For Muslims, this is a very important principle of faith. It's one of the actual cornerstones of Islamic faith. Indeed, there are six articles of faith in Islam known as the Aqidah, which is interesting because it sounds very much like the word Aqidah in Hebrew. They are actually the same word. They both mean binding. Aqidah in Arabic means binding as well, meaning that these are things that Muslims are bound to theologically. And the six principles of faith, not to be confused with Maimonides' 13 principles of faith for Jews, the six principles of faith in the Aqidah are as follows. Number one, believe in God, who they call Allah, and you have to believe in, if you're a good Muslim, that He is the one and only one worthy of all worship. Number two is a belief in the angels. Number three, belief in the books sent by Allah, including the Quran. Number four, belief in all of the messengers sent by Allah, the ultimate messenger being Muhammad. Number five, belief in the day of judgment and in the resurrection. And number six, belief in destiny or fate. Now, I'm not so certain that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi covers all of these principles, but it appears, perhaps, that one can read all six of these doctrinal points in his short presentation of Islam. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, in his presentation of Islam, emphasizes the idea of incorporeality of God, as well as God's unity. Now, it should be noted that these are not only important principles to Muslims, they're obviously very important to Jews as well. And in addition, they are, for the philosophical community, also self-evident from a logical standpoint, which is perhaps an advantage that Islam has over Christianity. The certain doctrines of Christianity relating to God and the Son of God and the Trinity, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi feels, the Khuzari King feels, are completely outlandish and unacceptable because they run completely counter to logic. But at least the Islamic conception of God, His incorporeality and His absolute unity, at least are consistent with philosophical logic as well. And it's also the reason why, according to most Rishonim, while the Rambam considers Christianity idolatry because it ascribes a Trinitarian aspect to God, three which is really one, there is no accusation of idolatry similarly lodged against Islam. And that is, according to most Rishonim, Islam is a truly monotheistic faith. It is not Avodah Zarah. It is not idolatry. As part of the presentation of Islam, this Qadi, this Muslim cleric, also emphasizes that the greatest proof to the truths of Islam is the reading of the Quran itself. But you can only read it in the original Arabic language if you're going to appreciate how self-evident these truths are. The Quran itself makes this claim, that its structure and prose prove that it could not have been written by human beings. Furthermore, it's been argued that Muhammad himself was illiterate by his own admission, so the only way that he could have written the Quran while in a cave was through divine revelation. And according to Islamic tradition, the angel Gabriel appeared to Muhammad in a cave and gave him all of these divine words that are contained in the Quran. Now, you might even detect some vestiges of this theological principle even in current events, because in recent years, many Muslims have found themselves having to defend the accusation that Islam is inherently anti-Semitic and anti-Christian in nature because of some passages. And Muslims will argue back and say that you're taking these verses out of context, And furthermore, you're not reading them in the original Arabic, which is much more nuanced in its approach towards non-Muslims. I'm not here to judge whether these arguments have merit or not. I just want to observe that part of the theology of Islam is that the text itself, only when read in the original Arabic, can be appreciated and understood as being the word of God. Now, if we look at the response of the Khazar king, it's quite simple. His response is, the greatest miracle that you point to prove that Islam is the word of God and it is contained in the Quran, is that it could not have been written by humans, because by reading it you see that only God could have written such a text. So the Khazar king says very simply, I don't understand Arabic. So how am I supposed to be convinced if I can only see the divinity of this book in the original Arabic? So the Muslim cleric responds that, you know, it's true, Muhammad did perform miracles, but the miracles that Muhammad performed were never the main point. They were never deemed necessary as the basis for accepting our faith. And here's where I'll read for you the response of the Khazar king, as it appears on page 64 in paragraph 8. The Khuzari said, it does not make sense that the Creator would communicate with a mortal without there being some supernatural phenomenon accompanying the experience. This would be the only way to prove that it was really the Creator communicating. Furthermore, the supernatural effect would have to be a public spectacle so that the adherents of the religion would see it with their own eyes instead of having to believe an account of it from their prophet. What the Khuzari is essentially saying is that, sure, it's altogether possible that a person can achieve prophecy. You don't have to have a miracle in order to have a prophecy, in order to have God speak with you. However, if it is going to be a prophecy that is meant to convince others who are not prophets that they need to follow the prophet's teachings, the prophecies need to have miracles connected to them in order to convince the masses. Otherwise, it's too easy for anyone, any kook, to declare himself to be a prophet and to start his own religion. This is especially so to a philosophically oriented Khazar king, for whom the whole concept of an all-powerful God debasing himself by connecting in some way with lowly human beings is totally illogical. Once again, and this is the same argument that he's lodged against the Christian cleric, if you're going to convince me of something that is completely illogical, you'll need to provide some kind of proof by having eyewitnesses to the miracles that accompanied the prophecy. And here's where the Qadi comes back and he says, but even our Quran is in accord with the biblical account of the miracles that occurred to the Jews. Now, here we just need to understand something, is that in Islam, there is an acceptance of the accounts of the Bible, but only as they are retold by the Prophet Muhammad in the Quran. That is to say that while Muslims do accept earlier prophets, including Moses and Abraham and Yosef and even Jesus, they accept as a prophet, they nevertheless contend that the holy scriptures of both Judaism and Christianity are forgeries and distortions of the true accounts, and that they slant these accounts in favor of Judaism and Christianity respectively. So therefore, while Muslims do believe that Jesus was a good prophet, they do not believe that he was the Son of God. While Muslims do believe that there was such a thing as an Akedah, as the Abraham taking his beloved son and placing him on an altar, they do not believe that that son was Isaac, but rather they believe it was Ishmael, and so forth. So they believe that the Jews deliberately distorted their holy texts and changed the stories in order for these stories to be more in favor of the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov instead of the true chosen people, which are the descendants of Ishmael. So the Khuzari's conclusion is that if the Jews are the basis for so many of the miracles that are contained in the Quran, because the Quran does contain the story of creation and the story of the flood and the stories of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and the stories of the Jewish exodus from Egypt, but these are the stories, these are the miraculous events that even the Muslim has to point to as saying these are the things that took place publicly. I acknowledge that Muhammad had miracles, but they were all of a private nature. So according to your argument, I can't use those as a basis for proving Islam. So once the Khazar king comes to that conclusion that the basis even for Islam are the public spectacles and miracles of the Jewish people, I should probably speak to their descendants and find out what they believe. Now that the Khuzari has concluded that he needs to actually interview a Jew, even though that prospect had originally been distasteful to him, he will continue with an initial dialogue with the rabbi, and that'll be the content of our next discussion.